Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That's one of several places in those verses where we're described as being made in his image. And that was the culmination of last week's lesson, that you are made in the very image of God. There is not a greater compliment. There is not a greater testimony to your value than that you are personally created by God and stamped with his image. That's significant. That's huge. That establishes your identity beyond anything else, that you have his image on you and in you. That gives you definition. That gives you direction. That gives you identity. And as I just said, that gives you value. The entire study of value is its own lesson, and we'll just have to do it sometime. I can't weave it into this lesson on self. I tell you what, you study the identity of the individual, God's teaching to the individual, the importance of the individual, God's relationship with the individual, what he does with the individual, and you can go about 40 different directions with a lesson just on the person. Our Western culture, the entire Western hemisphere, is based on the precious value of the individual. Our laws are. Our governments, the better governments, are governments that honor the individual, the rights of the one, the dignity of the one, the value of the one. The tragedy that happened in Norway is a tragedy of gut-wrenching proportions, but everyone lost Friday, I guess it was, is a family that's ripped apart and deeply hurt and deeply damaged, because we know that God takes care of, loves, and gives precious value to every individual. And when some madman, when some crazed, twisted, thinking individual goes and thoughtlessly and seemingly empty, with emptiness, pulls that life out of this world. We hurt all around the world. That value, that intense importance of the individual is in the Western society because God put it into his word, because God put it into his teaching, that every single person is important. In your discussions with people about Christianity, you make sure that that rises to the top, that the very dignity and the value of the individual that we hold precious in our society is given to us and is only available because God made us. You take God out of the person, out of the picture, and there's no importance to the individual. You're just as significant as the next blade of grass out in the yard. You're just an accident, like that blade of grass is an accident as to where it ended up and how it's growing. No, we have our dignity and our value from God and God alone. Genesis 1 teaches us that and gives us an establishment. But there's so much more about us, and I want to leave that and to go on, that you have in yourself reason, intelligence as part of the imprint of God. You have in yourself a love of relationship, a need for relationship, a need to love and be loved. There are people who love and love and love and love and try to connect with other people, but never feel love, never feel connected, have that emptiness in them. It's important to love and to be loved. If you're only loved, if you're on the receiving end, if you just take and take and take and take and take, you know what happens to you? You die. You die on the inside. Your heart and your and your quality dries up. People see you for the sponge that you might be in just taking and not giving, and you'll have a bitterness. Esau is described in Hebrews as having a bitterness because he took and wanted what was temporary rather than what was long term. So you have in you a reason, you have in you a need for relationships, you have in you a desire for rightness. You want what's good, you want justice to be done, you see injustice or indignity and you dislike it. We need and want goodness and justice. It's built into us. And finally, in the fact that God has made us a spirit and soul, we have infinity in us. He has put infinity in the heart of man, you can read in Ecclesiastes. We have infinity in us. God took, and we discussed this last week, God took his spirit, his breath, and breathed into man and created man to be a soul. Spirit is life. Soul is individual. You have your spirit is your personal spirit. It's no one else's. But you can kind of look at the two as the spirit is the very life of you. It's an eternal life, but it gives life to your physical body as well as your soul, your eternal person. But the soul is you individually. It's the person. It's the character and the characteristics that you have. I want us to be thinking about these things, to be very aware of who we are as God defines us, and not go running off into searching for ourselves in wrong places. Let's look at Deuteronomy. As God gives his nation a connection to him personally and as an identity, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And it's there, these instructions fit naturally with us because of what God has done in creating us as physical, as spiritual, and as soul, as person. That we have a three in us as well. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy 10. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God. To walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heaven, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them. For he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as to this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him. And you shall never swear by his, and you shall, excuse me, you shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Oh, what an instruction. What an encouragement. What a connection. God isn't shaking his fist at them. He's opening his arms to them. He's shown him his power. He has great wrath. We talked about that in our Wednesday night class, about how important it is that we have a God of wrath. We need a God who's wrathful and angry, who gets angry about things and gets angry at us when we mess up. But that's not how he draws us to him. He draws us to him the same way you draw your children to them, to you. What does God require of you? What does he want from you? To fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him, to follow his commandments, to love others, take care of the widow and the orphan and the alien, take care of those who have no one else to take care of them. That's what God has put in us. He's put in us relationship, right? Rightness, reason. Think. Our God fits us hand in glove between who we are as individuals and what he's asked us to do. It's a perfect fit. We shove it away all the time. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And we end up torpedoing our lives and doing ourselves great damage and great damage to others around us by ignoring God's word. And people, after they have torpedoed themselves, and that, I like that word, torpedoed. It's not a Bible word. You're not going to find it in many Bible studies, but it is exactly the right idea. That some small thing with great explosive power is coming unseen, virtually unseen through the water. And the ship that is our lives is tooling along, we hope, in a good direction. But this awful thing from some side angle comes in. And although it's very small in comparison to all the days of our life, it does great damage, horrific damage. And it might sink us if it hits us in the wrong spot. We torpedo our lives by ignoring him. It is so important for us to understand what it means to be an individual with God. He has built you to fit perfectly within his statutes, within his teachings, within his word. It's so straight. We're not going to be able to get into many things this morning, but I want us to go back to where we read a moment ago, where Chuck read for us in Acts chapter 24. Because Felix and Drusilla are a good example. Felix and Drusilla are a good example of torpedoed lives. Drusilla was a Jew by identity, maybe by faith. And Felix was made governor there in that part of the Roman Empire. It's described in historical writings about Felix and Drusilla that between the two of them, you could find every evil committed by mankind. A sample of everything evil in man that we bring into our lives. You see, Felix had been a slave, and he had gotten out of his slavery because of his loyalty or however he did it with powers that be over him. And he had even eventually gotten noticed by the emperor. And he was brought up through one level of power after another, through backstabbing, through lying, through power manipulation. He even had bands of assassins working for him that would murder his enemies or anybody who got into his way. Felix was an evil man who had gone from one level of corruption to another, to another, to another, for more power, for more money. He had taken one woman after another to be his wife. And now he's got Drusilla. And Drusilla is theorized at this point in her life to be a teenager. And this is her second marriage. She had already been sexually convenient to another man. And now Felix steals her away, but not unwillingly. She wanted to go to him to use herself, her own body, as a stepping stone for more power in her life. So she sits at the right arm of this man as he brings her into his court and has Paul brought before them. Every way you can misuse yourself and misuse your life, apparently, have been tried by these two. And Paul stands before them. What does Paul say to them? Go look. Verse 24, some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Righteousness, self-control, and judgment. What did Felix and Drusilla not have in their life? They didn't have righteousness, or at least not much by the historical writings about them. Self-control, a strength of theirs? Forget it. Prepared for judgment? Were they able to look at God in the eye with the lives that they had led? There is a great truth in what Paul's doing here. Paul is bringing to somebody, I actually happen to have a mirror up here. I don't know why I have a mirror up here. If I had thought about this as an object lesson, I'd have brought a big one. But Paul is able to walk up to a powerful, assassinating, evil, vile man who's in another vile relationship. And he walks up to him and he holds up a mirror. Morning, Governor Felix. It's an honor to be before you today. Let me tell you about righteousness. The righteousness of God and what he asks us to do in our lives. Let me talk to you about self-control and what it means to tell yourself no and to be a diligent and careful in the walking of your days that you don't slip and you don't bring a catastrophe upon your life and upon those of others. Because, you see, God himself will judge our lives. And everything we say and everything we do and everything we are is going to be paraded before him. And he'll make judgment. The creator of the universe is going to come to a judgment about how we loved our lives. How we lived our lives. It might have fit how we loved our lives. Because, you see, just to go with my slip of the tongue, you see, that kind of a walk, the kind of a walk that Felix and Drusilla are right in the middle of, is not a love for life. They're hating their life. They are misguided, using the days of their life to go after one thing after another. They are torpedoing themselves over and over again. You think they're satisfied? If he'd been satisfied, he'd have stuck with his first wife. If he'd have been satisfied, he'd have not murdered his opponent. If she'd have been satisfied, she'd have stayed with whoever was her mistress, or she was mistress to, or her husband, or had gotten things straight. No, they're not satisfied. One of the things you can know about the powerful people of this earth is that unless they are in Christ Jesus, unless they know Christ and are following God's word, they are not satisfied. And you, me, little pipsqueak people we are, folks who are of no account, living our little lives up here in Alaska, you can go stand before, let me just pick on somebody if you don't mind, you can go stand before the governor of California. And ask Mr. Universe. He did. He won the Mr. Universe competition back in 68 or whatever. You satisfied with your life? Do you know righteousness? Do you know self-control? Are you ready to talk to God in judgment? And the great powerful leader of one of the largest and richest states of the largest, one of the largest and richest countries in the world will say to you, if he's honest, no, I'm not. Now, I don't know his faith. I'm not trying to pick on him as an individual. I'm using him as an example who's been publicly humiliated. His own lack of self-control, his own misuse, abuse of the people around him. And that's true abuse. To take somebody who's an employee of yours and to use them in such an awful and personal way. It's the same way Felix is misusing Drusilla here. You see, we are individuals before God, and his word is written the way it is written. His righteous teachings are spelled out the way they're spelled out so that we can have joyous lives, fulfilled lives. People think they can go from one sexual encounter to another. They think they can chase pornography on the internet because it doesn't hurt anybody. They think they can dive into this drug or into that bottle and find some satisfaction. But they're torpedoing their lives. They're bringing destruction. These powerful people are insecure. They look so competent on the news broadcast. They look so sure of themselves. The billionaires, the ones who run the monetary funds around the world, who some maid in some hotel brings them down. Oh, good grief. It's one story after another. It's happening in every direction. We are individuals before God, given a beautiful and a specific and a lovely way to walk. He has given us a desire for relationships. Why in the world would a powerful man like Felix go after another wife? Don't you think he's tired of them? I don't know what they had done to him or how bad it had been in his home or how much screaming and how much difficulty. But he had got another one. We want people to want us. We want to be loved. We need to love. And even though it's going from one awful thing to another awful relationship, we keep looking for one that somebody is going to love us. We keep looking for satisfaction in tomorrow's activities. Getting drunk last week didn't work, but maybe getting drunk tomorrow will. We torpedo our lives with these kinds of decisions. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and the lesson will be yours. You see, there's so much to talk about in regard to what God has done for us as individuals. He has given us reason and understanding. We need to be people who think. Don't run after the same thing everybody else is running after. There's no satisfaction in that. The joy and satisfaction is found in following righteousness, in applying self-control to our lives, to be disciplined people, and to fear God and know that it's Him who made us. He gave us purpose, and it's Him we face in judgment. The only place you can stand in judgment is in Jesus Christ, safely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. This is in the middle of a sentence, but never mind. That's where I'm starting. Ephesians 5:10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. What was Paul doing in front of powerful Felix? Exposing his unrighteousness? Just by talking about it. Just by talking about what it means to be righteous. The powerful governor in Judea became frightened. I heard about a man who went and talked to one of our, a preacher who went and talked to one of our big league ball teams. One of the famous, one of the big ones, major leagues. When he went to talk to them about faith and about issues of God and Christ. And in just talking to this team, he said one of the most famous names in all of baseball today came to him afterwards, weeping because his life had been in such turmoil and his relationships were so badly damaged. You see him in the field. He makes millions of dollars a year. He goes from one all-star team to the next all-star team. Whoever this man was, he didn't mention the name in the sermon. He's insecure. You have a security that they do not have. Regardless of the money, regardless of the power, regardless of the position, regardless of the fame, regardless of the availability of any woman they want, they're insecure. You have security and strength that they would just dream of. Where am I? Verse 12. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, because everything becomes that becomes visible as light. For this reason, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. It is so sad, the lives of so many young folks that are being destroyed by one mess after another. We have real epidemics in this valley of young people's availability to dangerous drugs, prescription drugs that they're misusing, or things that are cooked up in some the back of people's kitchens. It is so damaging. It is so dangerous. It is so deadly. It is so wrecking of lives. One thing after another after another. We need to watch our lives carefully and be a strength, to be a help. We've talked about the powerful of this world who are without security and are weak. It is the weak in our own community who are also in most ways without security and without confidence. Let us be confident, and this is the place to get confidence. We'll end here. 2 Timothy 1, this is the place to get confidence. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. See, you have a confidence, you have a security, you have a stand that few others can take on this earth. The powerful and the weak all stand helpless before God in his judgment. What a marvelous thing for Paul to teach to this powerful man who has led such an evil life and his young wife sitting beside him, teaching them about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Let us be people who walk in righteousness, who know the self-control of Christ, that Christ teaches us, and to be prepared with him in judgment. We are the light of the world, Jesus says. We stand secure because God is able. He's able to guard you and keep you secure, you in Christ. If any this morning are not in Christ, it doesn't matter how much money. It doesn't matter if you can find a satisfying relationship next time around or not. It doesn't matter what other thing you might have. You need Christ. Only in him is there forgiveness of sins. Only in him do we stand pure before God. Only in him is there security and confidence. That's what you do to yourself. God has given you the gift of yourself. You give it back to him in Christ. Please. If you're ready to be baptized, we invite you to come forward. If you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that's selected.